Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15 says this: He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, I think that identifies the socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party known as Democrats in America today. In fact, let me just reintroduce some thoughts for today's broadcast. I'm looking at Franklin Graham's article in the Decision Magazine, October 2022 issue. He says, on November the 8th, tens of millions of voters will head to the polls across America in the most critical midterm election in recent history. To say that much is at stake is a gross understatement. It isn't just control of Congress. It may be our last chance to stop the immoral and ungodly policies that have brought our great nation to the moral brink of disaster. The floodgates of Sodom and Gomorrah have seemingly swung wide open in the past 2 years. The spirit of Antichrist is pervading our nation, hating the things of God. Many of our leaders now advocate for and defend such abominable behavior as same-sex marriage, gay rights. They are staunch supporters of transgenderism, which is nothing but a lie from hell. Those who flaunt this ungodly lifestyle are sold out and devoted to taking this lie as far as it can go and reaching our children, the next generation, through the educational system. They don't care if a biological male goes into a girl's public bathroom under the disguise of being a female. I say disguise because there's no such thing as transgender. It is a made-up word by a godless culture that openly defies God's unique creation of male and female. Every infant in every hospital, in every state, indeed around the world, is born genetically a boy or a girl, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that sets the stage as to where we are. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, one of the major, major problems that we find that is so inherently problematic, I believe, today, is the fact that we do not recognize the iron fist that's being used in relationship to controlling the vote and making the determination on how we're going to carry out this election. I'm looking at an article that says, Democrat researcher says Google is shifting votes in my party's favor. That's a Democrat making that statement, that Google is shifting votes in the favor of the Democratic Party. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this article then says, empirical research shows Google affected the outcome of the 2016 and the 2020 elections in favor of Democrats, and the tech giant has its digital thumb, on the scale of current midterm elections for November the 8th. It goes on to talk about what they're doing, what their intents are. It says, this is power that's never existed before in human history. This is power that the worst dictators in history could have only dreamt of. But this is real. This is occurring even as we speak, this writer says. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's imperative that we understand the ultimate future of America is hanging in the balance as we vote on November the 8th. It is the most critical, crucial election in our lifetime. I'm looking at another article that says on November the 8th, North Carolina voters will determine which party holds the balance of power in the state's high court. This will have major implications from how congressional voting lines are drawn to the constitutional right to slay innocent human beings in the uterus. Liberals hold a 4-3 majority on the court, but two of these seats are up in 2022. If Republicans win every one, the balance of power court shifts from the left-leaning to the right. Modern culture, after all, is just the public manifestation of over 200-year war in America and against Christendom, culminating in the mid-20th century, culture embracing and accommodating the religious secularism in American public square. The sooner evangelical and pro-life Catholic Christians recognize that transient and mutable sectarianism is vying for the ideological supremacy and control of the public square over the eternal and immutable Jehovah God, the greater chance the nation will have to withstand the onslaught of profane secularist and cultural Marxism, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, do you want to have a socialist, Marxist, communist nation or a constitutional republic with a representative form of government? That decision will be made in the next 24 hours. So, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to vote. I believe I have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, we watched in 2016, then 2018, then 2020, now 2022. I hope the shenanigans in 2022 aren't near like they were in 2016, 18, or 20. But and we could get into all the stuff in 2020. Obviously, the water leaks that didn't exist, and the ballot boxes that got dragged out from underneath tables, and people, Republicans kicked out of the vote counting area in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and then that particular vote counting area with the big pieces of cardboard put over the windows, so not even observers outside could film or watch or see what was taking place in the way of the vote counting, the chaos in Maricopa County, the chaos in Fulton County, Georgia. I pray that the derelicts in the Democratic Party do not cheat to the point and to the degree that they have historically and that they did in spades in 2020 to allow, you know, Basement Joe to get 81 million votes. By the way, I'd like for anybody to call in today if they believe Basement Joe actually got 81 million unique votes. Understand, folks, I believe the state of Florida, most of the listeners today on this program are in the state of Florida. I know a lot of you are in Virginia. Look at the stats in Virginia. I think the state of Virginia, the state of Florida in many areas has nearly 102% of registered voters as compared to the number of people of voting age in the area. Do you understand? So it's 2% more, and a lot of people aren't registered to vote. So there are a lot of people that are registered to vote that are either dead or they've moved, or they're illegally on the rolls. Do you understand? We have a problem. Matter of fact, this just pronounced itself. A woman was just indicted. I guess she was jailed. She's out on $1,000 or $5,000 bail in the state of Florida. Thank you, Ron DeSantis, for once again showing that you're willing to do your job. But in any case, she was arrested because guess what she did? She voted in Alaska by absentee ballot. And then she voted again by walk-in early voting in Florida. Now, a group called True the Vote wanted to go across the United States and examine voter rolls, and they've gotten pushback from the Democratic Party from day one. The woman that started that organization had an ATF raid, had an FBI raid, and she and her business and her husband's business and he himself have been audited. I mean, one thing after another they've done to those people to prevent them from checking the voter rolls. So I hope and pray, and I'll not go any further, I hope and pray that the cheating is done, it's over with. But it seems like one party is against cleaning the voter rolls. One party is against voter security measures. One party is okay with assaults on family values, on morals, on freedom, on inflation. They're okay with inflation. They're okay with the border chaos. They're okay with human and drug trafficking. They're okay with the fentanyl crisis that probably killed 100,000 people this year. They're okay with collapsing your investments. They're okay with the runaway crime spree, the unconstitutional mandates. They're okay with using federal agencies, the FBI, DOJ, and IRS for political purposes, and that's what we see taking place. They're okay with this new war on the horizon where every day we turn around and with a weak-kneed president, we're opening the door for chaos, not just nationally but internationally. They're okay with depleting the strategic petroleum reserve. They're okay with the school debt burden being dumped onto other taxpayers, folks that didn't get the benefit of that master's or that PhD. They're okay with lowering academic standards. They're okay with drag queen story shows in our schools. Why in the world, folks, if you call yourself a believer, if you call yourself a constitutionalist, if you've ever sworn the oath, why in the world would you vote for this thing they call the Democratic Party today? It's not as it was historically. This is not JFK's Democratic Party. These folks are radical leftists, and they've been on board 100%. I shouldn't say that. 99.9% of the time, they've been on board with this radical agenda rolled out by the crazies in the White House. I say the crazies because Joe Biden is not running that White House, folks. Y'all need to understand that and realize that even those people that are on the left that consider themselves or they're campaigning as moderates today, they voted for policy after policy after policy after policy that Joe Biden and his henchmen have put forward. Get out and vote tomorrow. Be salt and light even in this public square, even in punching that ballot or pushing those buttons. By the way, it scares me to death, pushing buttons rather than punching a ballot. It scares me to death. That's just one more area that the fraud continues today.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. He's up in the southern tip of heaven, better known as Northeast Tennessee. Greg, what's it look like up there for the weather for tomorrow for voters?
No, I would imagine we're going to have a really, really good turnout. I hate that we have, like, you know, election week, election month, election year now. It's, you know, keeps going on and on. There were 2 weeks of early voting, and, of course, we've got our one day of real voting tomorrow. But as to the weather, it's a little overcast, but it's still the southern tip of heaven. There's still sprinkles of color through these hills, even though most of the leaves have abandoned us until next spring.
Greg, one thought. I'm looking at an article that says Democrats want totalitarianism of thought. This article is 3 pages. I'm going to read 2 brief paragraphs. The goal of progressive neo-Marxist Democrats is totalitarianism in thought. Make no mistake about it, nothing less than complete capitulation to their belief system will be sufficient. What they desire isn't just something they dream of obtaining, like winning the lottery. It's a firm, set-in-stone goal they intend to achieve by imposing their will upon every American, regardless of what is required to accomplish the task. The democracy they intend to create is one where freedom of thought and expression will not be tolerated in any form, not by anyone other than the one of the progressive elitist that's in control. If you understand what they want, if you realize this is what they intend to produce, which most Americans do not recognize, then you can understand exactly why they are so apoplectic about the shellacking they're about to receive in the upcoming election. For them to lose like this is what they consider to be a threat to democracy. Anything that threatens to break their stranglehold on the thinking of the American people is what they consider to be a threat. This is nonsense, of course, but it's an essential aspect of who they are as the Democratic Party. What we're about to do, repudiating them by voting them out, but it's definitely contradictory to their neo-Marxist communist belief system. To them, our repudiation is so un-American that those of us who champion throwing them out are being called Nazis by the media today. How do you respond to that article in the statement?
Well, first off, I'm gonna buy part of their allegation. I'm gonna own part of their allegation. The notion that I am a threat to democracy. You know what? I am a threat to democracy because democracy, what by our founding fathers, was tagged as mob rule. They were the notion of democracy was abhorrent to our founding fathers. Ben Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and one sheep voting on what's for dinner. Guess what? That means that third sheep is about to be dinner for the other two. In a democracy, your rights can come or go based on the will of the majority. It's mobocracy. If everybody decides they want to seize your property, well, I guess they can just vote and seize your property. Folks, we were granted by the hard work and the blood of American patriots. We were granted by God constitutional rights. We are a constitutional republic. And in that constitutional republic, you have rights that do not go away because the chief executive says they go away, and they don't go away because some mob says that they go away. Your religious liberty was trampled underfoot. Your freedom of speech was trampled underfoot. Your Second Amendment right is attempted to be trampled underfoot by every one of these authoritarian, fascist, leftist, state by state, community by community. The mandates that you get a jab in your arm, an experimental jab in your arm, that they did not want to allow for any religious objections, moral objections, didn't want to allow for objections based on conscience, didn't want to allow for a proper review or even a proper expose of what's in these things that they're wanting to put in people's arms. The violation of the Nuremberg Code, the informed consent provisions within the Nuremberg Code, international law, that trampled these folks' rights. And you fast forward. Now we're almost out of this. Now, the left still wants to hang on to that because they love the power that they perceive that it gave them. Now, keep in mind, the same garbage is in the 2030 and 2035 plans that we all be forced into electric automobiles. Understand, it has nothing to do with saving the environment. It has everything to do with controlling every facet of your life. Look at every objective that they seem to have on a wide basis, and it's more and more to control your life. They will drive the cost of energy through the roof, and then if you're their pal, if you're their friend, if you do what they tell you to do, they'll give you a subsidy to help cover some of the cost. That's the goal. That's the plan. That's the objective, and that's what I'm voting against. And I'm voting for freedom. I'm voting for liberty. I'm voting for, you know, family values. I'm voting for religious liberty and freedom of speech and our right to keep and bear arms. I'm voting for God-given rights in this election. That's what I'm voting for.
Absolutely. Greg, so well stated, and I'm praying that our listeners are listening up and taking notes, if nothing else. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in the dialogue and discussion, feel free to do so. We're talking right now to Greg Youngblood, one of our four sons. I'm thankful for his knowledge and his wisdom and his words of advice and recommendation direction for us today. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says, Biden's number one warning before the Democratic coup. If Americans take Democrats at their word, anything less than a total Democratic victory on November the 8th will threaten freedom and the future of the United States of America. Democrats are prepared to act immediately to prevent that from happening by any means. Specifics of the American Rescue Plan remain top secret. Listen to the balance of this, and then I've got a question about the American Rescue Plan, why it's top secret, and the fact that Joe Biden still holds in his hand what is called the National Health Emergency that he declared almost 2 years ago. This article further says, Acting President Ron Klain, White House Chief of Staff, says Joe Biden's speech Wednesday was one final warning. Must we vote Democrat or face imprisonment? Is voting against a Democrat a capital offense? If national survival is at stake, as Ron Klain claims it is, Joe Biden has to say so repeatedly. What are those Democrats prepared to do if election results reject their candidates? Mr. Klain, K-L-A-I-N, Klain, what's your opinion? What's your plan? This is the second time Joe Biden has delivered a speech that insults and attacks half the nation as election deniers and evildoers. He has deliberately framed the issue to convince citizens that they will be enslaved and their freedoms taken away if Republicans win election. When the decibel level of political conversation simultaneously reaches this hysterical highs and intellectual lows, the nation really is in danger. So, Greg, with that being said, are you familiar with the American Rescue Plan? Are you familiar with the fact that Joe Biden still holds in his hand, as one of the executive orders, that the nation is still under a national health emergency? Do you feel that after the election, if a large number of Democrats lose the position and they see they are losing power, that between the election and the time the new incumbents take office in January, do you foresee the potentiality of Joe Biden using some secret American rescue plan to make major executive decisions, executive orders, that can absolutely destroy America before any conservatives, Republicans, take office in January?
Listen, as soon as Joe Biden walked into office, he signed a stack of executive orders that undid just about everything that Trump did lawfully under executive orders. Keep in mind, an executive order needs to be in furtherance of, in pursuit of, an already stated federal code. Essentially, if you have a federal code that says you must secure the border and you have an executive order that says this is the way we secure the border, then that's a lawful executive order. That's why the lawful executive orders from Trump that we pull resources here and here and here and here and here in order to build a border fence, when everyone from Paul Ryan to Nancy Pelosi and all the underlings in the House, I blame it on the House because the House, you know, all money bills begin in the House according to Article 1 of the Constitution, regardless, he was pulling those resources. They fought him tooth and nail all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And guess what the U.S. Supreme Court said? That was a lawful executive order. Well, as soon as Joe Biden came in, you know, they hamstrung Trump, and as soon as Joe Biden came into office, he literally said, lay down your trials, don't build the wall. I say lay down your trials. I'm thinking about, you know, that text you were just in Nehemiah, right?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, lay down those trials, stop building the wall. Matter of fact, he was paying out federal resources, I believe, at a rate of $5 million a day for the wall to stop being built. And all of a sudden, the Remain in Mexico, that executive order went out the window. The deals that had been cut to actually help secure our border, all that went out the window. And overnight, we started seeing millions headed toward our border. The executive orders dealing with Medicare funding, and the purchase of things like insulin went out the window, where it was to save resources for the Medicare system and for Medicare recipients and to lower the cost of insulin. That went out the window. Now, he's just, you know, a few months ago signed some executive order to renew that. But my point is, all the good things, executive orders that have been signed by Trump were undone by Biden on day one. And he's then created the chaos that now they're offering us the cure for. Understand, they put poison in the water and then offer you filters for your water. You know, they shut down the economy and then offer you a subsidy for staying home. They take away, you know, oil and gas production, and they go, but we're going to replace it with windmills, and you can buy an $80,000 electric car, and we'll give you a subsidy to buy that car. I mean, folks, when you can't put food on your table, how good's that $10,000 or $20,000 subsidy to buy an $80,000 electric car? But that's the chaos. It's as some people call it, it's a broken leg theory. The government comes along and breaks your leg and then offers you, you know, a cast and the cane or the walker or the crutches. They're going to help you. They're the ones that broke your leg, folks. For 3 years, we've seen totalitarians in government, your Fauciites, and now, of course, with the batch coming through with Biden, they've ramped things up. Is there a crisis? No. If there was a crisis, they made it worse. Understand, I believe they built the virus that we call COVID, that
yes,
we call the Wuhan
right.
flu, that we call the – they built it with our tax dollars, and then they offered us all these cures. And it's just finally – being acceptable to talk about it. They shut off your right to even discuss these things. They've yanked the actual medical license of Dr. McCullough. He was one cardiologist, one of the most renowned cardiologists that was calling out the problems in both the theoretical beginnings as well as the treatment protocols for COVID. and they shut him down. He was muted on Twitter by the request of folks in the CDC and the executives. He was shut down on Twitter and Facebook. If you shared anything from him, I have 54 or 56 punishments over the past couple of years from Facebook. I took a screenshot of it. Again, 54 or 56. That's how many times my free speech was somehow or another curtailed, and many times because the White House requested it, or the CDC requested it, or the WHO requested it. Your rights are under assault. You ought to be engaged. You ought to see those God-given liberties as something worth defending.
Absolutely. And a vote for any vote for a Democratic candidate is a vote to destroy our financial status in America. It's a vote to continue the exponential cost of gasoline and fuel oil and heating oil. It's a vote to continue to allow the thugs with badges to roam the streets, breaking doors in and arresting people because they are concerned about the vote. Greg, are you familiar with Engelbrecht and Phillips, the two that were main characters in the expose about the 2,000 mules? Are you familiar with what's happened to them? Speak to that issue for our listeners to understand where we are going in America with the punishment of those that are considered objectors or on the other side of the aisle from the Socialist Communist Party that's today in charge.
They're pulling a Michael Flynn on Catherine Engelbrecht and the other gentleman. I forget his name. She founded the group called True the Vote. The idea is to explore the voter rolls and see where fraud may be easily done because the voter rolls are not clean and clear. Okay. Well, she was also the one that, through her organization, purchased, I believe, 3 billion pings, identifying where cell phones were and identifying their EIN or whatever. So, you know, you understand who holds the phone. It's a unique phone, is my point. And then track by creating geofences, track where people were coming and going, associated with the drop boxes in places like Atlanta. And they discovered, based on their theory, that there were mules, ballot mules, that were harvesting ballots and dropping them off. The numbers can't be completely clarified, but it may be thousands or it may be more than 10,000 folks that were dropping off ballots that heretofore that would have been considered illegal, unlawful, but that was allowed because of this crazy conditions around COVID. Now, because they say that they had an informant, a judge wants to know. This informant, by the way, dealt with the holding of voter data on a Chinese server. Guess what? That is, at least there's an indictment right now that accuses exactly that. But there's a judge now that wants to know where they got their information from. How do you like that? And they have now been jailed. Catherine Engelbrecht and this other person have been jailed and told they're going to be held in jail until they give up this information. Now, you know, we saw this under Clinton. He was willing to investigate and jail media personalities that seem to be not on his side. And I think we're seeing the exact same thing with Catherine Engelbrecht and that organization. They're perceived as political foes, therefore they're being attacked.
Absolutely. Greg, one final word for the last 6 seconds in the broadcast, our listeners.
Continue to be salt and light. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, on Election Day, get out and do your duty as a good citizen and as a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Greg, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
We invite you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.